fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio because you've got mail. I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, we look at the lost art of correspondence with our guest Samara O'Shea, author of For the Love of Letters, a 21st Century Guide to the Art of Letter Writing. Samara is in Wausau helping Woodson Art Museum director Kathy Foley publicize a great new exhibit, More Than Words, Illustrated Letters from the Smithsonian's Archives of American Art, an exhibit of real letters by historic letters to the important people in their lives.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you. I'm gonna write words oh so sweet, they're gonna knock me off my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom, I'll be glad I got 'em. I'm gonna smile and say, I hope you're feeling better. Enclose with love the way you do. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe came from you.
Like the delicate melodies of an old Fats Waller record, the art of letter writing seems to have fallen by the wayside, replaced by the instant gratification of email and text messaging. Today we're going to talk about the importance of handwritten communication in history, and we're going to hear a passionate defense for its inclusion in our 21st century world. Kathy Foley will share the magic of some of the hand-illustrated letters from artists on display right now at the Woodson Museum in Wausau, and Samara O'Shea will not only try to convince you that letter writing is still an essential form of human interaction, she'll also be giving you tips on how to write that all-important love letter, breakup letter, rejection letter, or thank you note to the people who matter in your life. Give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or toll free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. If you've got a writer's block, if you've got a question about how to express your thoughts to somebody, or if you'd like to speak up in favor of written communication because not enough people are doing it these days, those are the phone numbers, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. And Kathy, let's start with you. The Woodson Museum always brings interesting exhibits to Wausau, and I had a chance to walk through your hallways and see some of these letters, and it's something else. It's really something else.
Well, Glenn, you know, More Than Words, Artist Illustrated Letters is one of those exhibitions that had some maybe difference of opinion among curatorial staff as to whether it was the right exhibition. You know, we're always looking for that perfect mix. And this was one of those exhibitions that that I went to the mat for. And I hope that the response to it will justify my very strong defense. My reasoning is that letters are among the most intimate way to understand not only the history, but the relationships between individuals. And when you add to that equation an artist's illustration or doodle, what could be more voyeuristic, personal, illuminating, fascinating? I just can't get enough of it.
And you really do get a sense of being back in another day and age by seeing these handwritten notes, some of them back from the early parts of the 1800s, some of them prior to World War I, some of them during World War II. And even the style of the writing changes, and the illustrations certainly change,
correct,
too, to reflect popular culture.
And it's not just about these really spectacular letters from the Smithsonian Archives of American Art, which show us really a look into an aspect of American art history that you couldn't get elsewhere. But the Woodson Art Museum has combed its files and pulled as well letters that have been written to us by artists in Bird is the Word, letters written by birds and art artists over the years, I mean, including one addressed to me, envelope and letter on view. So it's not just at the Smithsonian or the Archives of American Art, but in museums all over the country, there exist letters illustrated by artists that are really a testimony to the importance of the written word.
And birds and art, of course, it attracts great natural and wildlife artists every year at the Woodson. And those letters to you, these aren't doodles. These aren't sketches. These are like elaborate renderings of birds in the wild, something that you could pull off of an Audubon book.
Well, these
and there an artist is just including it in a letter of thank you to the Woodson Museum.
These are the way a visual person thinks to give thanks by showing, utilizing their craft, so to speak.
Now, Samara O'Shea, you've written this great book, and I want to get the title right. It's For the Love of Letters, A 21st Century Guide to the Art of Letter Writing. You're in Wausau in conjunction with this exhibit. You're also talking to school kids?
Yes. First of all, Glenn, thank you so much for having me, and thank you, Kathy, for inviting me to speak at the Woodson Art Museum in conjunction with this incredible exhibit. And I'll tell you, I'm a person who thinks in words. I tend to paint pictures with words. So to be invited to be a part of something, you know, where the illustrations are the star of the letters rather than the words, is incredible and just showed me another dimension of letter writing, one I don't tend to think of. And so all those people out there who think, well, I can't write a letter, I don't have the right words to say, well, just let the words, you know, keep up short and then draw a picture.
Now, if somebody like Andy Rooney, like an old curmudgeon, had written a book saying, you young people have to write letters these days, I don't think it would have the impact that your book has, because you're 29 years old.
Yes.
You're familiar with the new technology. Mm-hmm. You're into emailing and text messaging, or at least I assume you are. You're not absolutely opposed to that.
Not opposed to it at all. I think they can all exist hand in hand. And it wasn't until my senior year of high school when that's the first time I remember using the internet. I did a project on Evita, and I was like, oh, this is neat, this sort of information thing that just appears on my computer. But, you know, I had plenty of years of passing notes in class and writing letters to friends that I met at summer camp. There was enough of my life of writing letters that it was a very important way to communicate with me. So, you know, as cell phones came about, as text messaging, emailing, and all that came around, you know, I adjusted to it, but none of them replaced letter writing for me. It was all just faster, but faster isn't always better.
And
I like to think it is.
I hate to say it, because when I was younger, I used to write a lot of letters,
Glenn,
and I don't anymore.
Did we have much choice?
No, we didn't.
When I was in college, you wrote a letter home, and if you called, what was the response? What's wrong? You didn't call.
Or
and
do
certainly,
you need money?
Well, maybe that was the equivalent of what's wrong. But letters were the way we communicated, for sure. Samara and I were talking about postcards as a kind of shorthand. Maybe that's the kind of bridge between the full boat letter and the text message.
Yeah, I still send postcards. But to sit down and write a long letter, I think I'm going to start doing it now that I've read your book. So
good.
What I'm interested in is, what got you in this frame of mind as a 29-year-old?
Honestly, it's kind of a selfish reason. You know, I would write letters. It was something I loved doing. And part of it was the writer in me just loved playing with words and phrasing things in a different way. And I would give letters to my friends, whatever it be, a thank you note. And they would come back to me, you know, years later and say, I still have that letter you wrote me. Thank you. It meant a lot to me. And to see that you have the power not only to make someone's day today, but 3 years from now, 10 years from now. I mean, that's an incredible power that I have that we all have. And I just from, you know, I met a boy at summer camp once, and he and I exchanged a few letters, and I still have the letters he wrote me, and they still make me happy, you know,
right,
when I come across them. And that,
and you know, years from now, when we're all lying on our deathbeds, mm-hmm, we're not going to be going over old text messages.
No, they, absolutely not. And email, actually, honestly, I was a little resistant to text messaging at first. You know, friends would text me and I'd be like, why aren't you just calling me? But email, I sort of jumped on right away, because it is like letter writing. You're just sending it a different way. But now with email, we don't I mean, you can. You have the option of sort of writing something long and eloquent and beautiful and sending it via email, but we don't. We tend to shorten it. But the nice thing about email is you can print. You know, if you know yourself well enough to know you'll never write another letter, you can print your emails and put them in a shoebox, and they can be a testament to your life someday.
You actually got in the letter writing business.
Yes,
I
got
it. How did that happen?
Well, like I said, I continued to write letters, you know, even as all these new ways to communicate came around, and I had a reputation among my friends for being the letter writer. So my friend Erica one day wanted to write a letter to a guy she was dating and asked me for my help. She said, you write letters, help me. So she told me, you know, the gist of the letter, and I tried to give it. I took her ideas and tried to give them what Emily Post calls a fresh turn of phrase, and I gave it back to her, and she was very happy with what I wrote. They didn't end up working out as a couple, but she was happy with what I wrote. So that was the birth of the idea of my website, letterlover.net, which is a letter writing service where what Erica and I did together is what, you know, people can email me through the site and say, I want to apologize to someone or tell them I love them or, you know, write an extended thank you note, and I will take what they want to say and write the letter for them, and they can pass it along as their own.
Do you share your bizarre requests?
The most bizarre request that actually was an unfulfilled request, somebody emailed me and said, would you write a eulogy? And I said, I would, but I'd need a lot of information, and then I never heard from them again. So they must have realized it probably in explaining everything to me, they would have, you know, written the eulogy themselves.
Do you think that they're in the need for letter writing service, that there is an inadequacy or an inadequate feeling among high school students, college students, young professionals, and you might factor in your experience in the classroom these days, that in fact we're no longer training adequately in the sort of rudimentary practices of writing a letter, you know, a beginning, a middle, an end, a salutation, a greeting. I mean, all those parts and components. Is that missing in education, do you think?
I've been in schools. I've been talking to local high schools all week and having a blast doing it. I mean, it's really been very eye-opening for me. And a lot of the kids tell me they do know about letters and write them. And, you know, that warms my heart, obviously. But I flipped through one of the English books just to sort of see that, you know, what's going on here. And they do still teach, you know, the standard business format for a letter, which is important. I can't imagine a textbook committee saying that letter writing stuff, let's not teach it anymore. Because even if you email a cover letter, you know, it still has to look.
It has to look like
a cover letter, yeah.
Samara O'Shea, our phone numbers, if you'd like to join the conversation, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. We want to hear from advocates for the written word, and we also want to hear from those of you who might want some tips on how to write a thank you note to somebody, or a cover letter, or a letter for a resume, or a breakup letter, or an apology letter, or a sympathy letter. Samara O'Shea has some very good advice. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. She's here with Kathy Foley of the Woodson Museum. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
On a day like today, we pass the time away, writing love letters in the sand.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com. Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
Kathy, one of the exhibits that really caught my eye at the Woodson Museum was one from John Frazee. Now, this guy was a sculptor in the early part of the 1800s. He took a train trip to sculpt Supreme Court Chief Justice John Marshall back in 1834. And there in this handwritten cursive letter, there's a detailed illustration of a steam engine train. I'm wondering, why would he put that on a letter? It's such a commonplace thing. And then I realized it was a new mode of transportation at the time. This is what he wrote. I just jotted something down in there. It says, a few minutes and we were off like a shot at the rate of 15 miles per hour. The sensation to me in this new conveyance was at first quite disagreeable, and for several miles I was chock full of fears, fits, and starts, but a person will get used to anything. A letter from 1837, 1834 takes you right back to that time and place.
With an absolutely marvelous illustration. I mean, absolutely beautiful. Without the letter, with the letter. Enhanced by the words. And a really meaningful kind of communication sent as a love letter, was it? Or
It was like a travel guide to a friend of his.
Mm-hmm. To his wife.
To his wife, yeah. Mm-hmm. To let him know that...
his very first train trip.
Look at what we've got here in America.
That's right.
Steam engine trains. There were some thank you notes. For instance, Andy Warhol in 1949... sent a handwritten letter that's on display at the Woodson Museum right now. Andy Warhol to Russell Lyons, who's a managing editor of Harper Magazine, who had asked him for biographical material.
Oh,
very
it's
short letter. Said, my life wouldn't fill a penny postcard. I was born in Pittsburgh in 1928, like everybody else in a steel mill. I graduated from Carnegie Tech, now in New York City, moving from one roach-infested apartment to another. You can imagine the editor of Harper trying to use... that as a description of this new artist that they've just hired.
And so Andy Warhol.
Isn't it? And also so marvelous that Russell Lyons saved that letter and then passed it along to the Archives of American Art. I mean, that's what so much of this is about. The idea of recognizing that these are important documentary objects to save. I mean, and not to cast aside.
When you send a thank you note, Samara, what do you typically put in it? When is it important to write one?
Well, let me first say about thank you notes is if we're not writing any other kind of letter, we should be writing thank you notes, and we should be handwriting them, because I always find the words thank you very limiting. Like, thank you, that's all you can say. And if you're truly grateful to somebody, you want to say it, you know, a bit more passionately than that. And by writing it, you're sort of humbling yourself and you're saying, look how far out of my way I'm going to thank you. I'm truly grateful for whatever it is you've done, the gift you have given, or, you know, the ride you gave me, whatever. I mean, I'm a big fan of sending thank you notes for random acts of kindness, not just for gifts. But the great thing about thank you notes is they can be 4 or 5 sentences. And, you know, it's easier to have a formula for a gift, for a random act of kindness. You know, it just sort of depends on the situation.
But isn't it, it's that personal connection that you want to make with the recipient.
Right, absolutely. And tell them, because they may not be aware of what they did for you. They could have just done something. And yeah, and exactly how much it meant to you. But as far as, you know, saying thank you for a gift, I would mention the gift. And if you truly love the gift, then talk about how you plan to use it or how you're using it or if you're wearing it. And if you don't like it, don't lie. Just say thank you for the gift, but then make the letter about the person. Say, you know, it was wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming to my wedding. Thank you for coming to my birthday party. You know, just make it more about the person.
And if you're going to be sending thank you notes back after a wedding, sometimes it helps to know exactly what gifts you got from what people.
Yes. That's what the bridesmaids are for, to keep that record. I'll tell you a thank you note story. I was in high school, you know, 10 years ago, and I was a junior, and we had a substitute teacher in my cooking class one day, and she sort of told us to get into groups and do whatever. So I ended up talking to Mindy Chetnevich. She was a very popular girl. She was the prom queen. I was not. And she was having a very tough time at home, and she just told me about it all, period, and I felt very bad. I didn't really offer her any insight. I didn't have any advice for her. And the next day, she handed me a thank you note, just thanking me for listening to her, and it tuned me into what a great act listening is sometimes, and that, I mean, I felt so bad that I hadn't given her any advice, and she was so grateful that she just had a set of ears to talk to, and I never would have known that had she not gone out of her way to write me that thank you note.
Listening like writing is a lost art, and it's
we're
something...
We're so impatient.
It's something that I know as a reporter. Good reporters have good listening skills. Anybody can talk, or a lot of people can talk. It's the people who can listen and pick up on the details that are special in journalism.
My husband says something quite wonderful about... You can't learn when you're talking.
This is very true.
Which emphasizes the importance of listening.
Let's talk just a minute here and kind of set the stage for love letters. We'll get into that in more detail. We do have to break in about a minute for news, but you've got a big section on love letters,
yes.
How to write them, when not to write them, mm-hmm. what to put in them. Give me the most important tip, if you could just pick one, for writing a love letter.
The most important tip: you cannot go wrong writing a love letter. Nobody ever gets sick of hearing how much they are loved, and you can write them in the early days of dating and 20 years after you've been married. You will always win with a love letter. So if you're even thinking of writing it, do it. Don't ever, think, I just won't write that.
What if you send somebody a love letter and they don't love you back?
Oh, I have a chapter on unauthorized love letters. Do you want to talk about that now, or should we wait till after the break?
Let's talk about it now.
Okay.
We've got about 45 seconds.
Okay. I believe that if you have feelings for somebody, you are more than welcome to tell them about it once. If you tell them and they don't respond positively, you need to let it go. Otherwise, you enter stalker territory. But I believe in telling someone once that you have very strong feelings for them.
Samara O'Shea, a letter writer extraordinaire with some tips on writing letters. We're also talking about a great exhibit of historical letters at the Woodson Museum with Kathy Foley. I'm Glenn Mulberg. We want to hear from you. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network.
Ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby used to hook me a letter. When she wrote me a letter, said she couldn't live without me.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from the Ho-Chunk Nation, actively working to keep Wisconsin green, shepherding local wildlife, preserving natural spaces, and restoring Wisconsin land and water to its natural state. More information online at hochunknews.org.
Morning, he brought my letter back. She wrote upon it, return to sender, address unknown, no such number, no such song.
I'm Glenn Mulberg. Today on Route 51, the lost art of correspondence, with our guest Samara O'Shea, author of a nifty little book called For the Love of Letters, A 21st Century Guide to the Art of Letter Writing. Samara in Wausau helping the Woodson Art Museum director Kathy Foley publicize a great new exhibit called More Than Words, Illustrated Letters from the Smithsonian's Archives of American Art. This is an exhibit of real letters by historic artists, hand-illustrated for the important people in their lives. You're an important person in our lives. If you'd like to call us and share your experiences in letter writing, letters that you received that meant something to you, maybe you're an advocate for the written word, maybe you've got a question about how to write a breakup letter or a love letter, give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. One of the letters at the Woodson Museum, the Woodson Art Museum, Kathy, is one written in 1943 by Waldo Pierce. It's a letter from Louisiana to a woman's auxiliary camp captain. And according to the plaque there, Mr. Pierce had been married multiple times, and he had drawn a picture of three women at a dinner table on this letter, carving up his heart with the phrase, "Would you like it well done or tender, hard-boiled or fricassee? Oh, my heart's in the land of the bayous, delightfully cleft in three." They don't write them like they used to.
No,
they
do. With words as well as with illustrations.
And these pictures are so great. Yes, he was married to his third wife at the time he wrote the letter to perhaps someone who might have become his fourth wife. And his third wife was also a painter, interestingly, but a very elaborately illustrated letter. This was certainly not a casually done missive.
And those letters take you right back to the time. I mean, the stylistic images. There was a letter from Paul Branson in 1905 to his sweetheart Grace Bond. And here's a drawing of him fixated on a picture of his sweetheart on what would now be an antique dresser, although it was a contemporary dresser at the time, with the caption, simply a picture. It looked like something that could have been in the New Yorker magazine.
It absolutely does. One of my favorite things that they do in the exhibit is so many of them take stationery, hotel stationery, or
airline stationery.
Yes, and they elaborate on it. You know, they continue the picture that's already in existence, and many of them did that. You know, which I found
there was one from 1927. I can't remember the artist now, but there was he took the hotel stationery, which had a an image of the hotel, and then extended it downward. And drew like an image of the Empire State Building and then put a little figure of himself to communicate how big these buildings were in New York City,
which was a new thing at the time.
I think he was writing to his daughter, Kathy's.
Looking frantically for that letter.
Sorry, we just put the pressure on her.
were you surprised by the fragility of the letters, Glenn, and the fugitive nature of watercolor pencil on paper, and the fact that so many letters are behind the magic door? And the lights are lower than normal in the galleries. Works on paper are especially fragile, and anything using watercolor pencil, the exposure to even controlled light levels, and so we want these things to last, and so taking especially good care of them. But the fact that they've been made available is just so special.
And Samara, many of these letters are love letters. We were talking about love letters before the break. And what if you get an unsolicited love letter, or you send one, you say don't send another one.
Right.
But what if you receive one from somebody? How do you respond to that?
Well, there's a chapter in my book called Unauthorized Love Letters, and what opens the chapter is the story of me, you know, sort of madly in love with a man, and I wrote him a letter telling him that all of this, how much I wanted to be with him, and he never responded to it. I gave it to him and didn't hear a word. So from that experience on the other side, if I were to receive a letter like that, I know that something is better than nothing. Even if the answer is no, you're offering the other person closure. You can say, thank you, this means a lot to me. I'm not on the same page
as you.
Probably
he was embarrassed and he didn't know how to respond.
Right. I mean, maybe. You never know. If you receive, you know, it's a lot of times, and I find this with men, and I don't mean to, you know, make the broad sweeping statement, but they think saying nothing is better because you're not hurting someone's feelings if you don't say nothing. And that's not the case, because there's no closure. There's just all this wonderment. Well, what did he even get the letter? You know, what happened? And I know he got it because I handed it to him. But
women are typically much better at communicating than men.
Which isn't true throughout history. History's great letter writers are men.
I think there's so many more letters from men in the exhibition. That maybe is not conclusive because there are perhaps more male artists in this period of
And for a long time,
archives.
Women weren't educated, so maybe that's not fair of us to say either.
So if you get an unsolicited love letter, you should send one back. How do you tell the person in a letter that you send back, well, thanks, but no thanks?
I think it's easier to send. I mean, but this is just me. I'm a letter writer. I think it's easier to say in a letter than to say to someone's face. But you just tell them. I mean, when you receive an unsolicited love letter, it's going to flatter you no matter what. So feel free to let the person know that their effort wasn't completely in vain and say thank you and, you know, maybe point out some of the things that this really meant a lot to me. I'm very sorry, but I don't share your set of feelings. Or if you're in a relationship, you can say I'm very happy in the relationship that I'm in. Something along those lines.
There's a way to do it without...
without being mean.
Without being mean,
yes, absolutely.
Right.
So important to acknowledge
the
overture.
How do you break up with somebody in a letter? You've got some examples of those.
I do have some examples, and I just want to defend the breakup letter a little bit because people tend to think, well, that's a horrible way to break up with someone. And it depends on the situation. I will put writing a breakup letter third in line. If you can do it, sit someone down and do it to their face, that's great. If you can do it over the phone, that's a little better. If you write a breakup letter, I think it's better than saying nothing. And unfortunately, I've been in too many dating scenarios where the guy just disappears and I never hear from him again. And I'm just like, well, you could have said something. And I'd rather have a breakup letter or a breakup email in that case than no word at all. So that's why, you know, I write the breakup letter chapter. And there's a long history of people breaking up through letters.
And there are specific tips and even phrases that you can use if you're writing a breakup letter, things that would work.
I mean, it's never easy to break up with someone. There is no good way to break up with someone, unfortunately. But, you know, you just try to be, depending on the situation, as kind as you can. Unless, you know, some breakup letters will write themselves if you're angry. You know, if the person has done something to hurt you and it's, you know, this is, I'm not taking it anymore, then you write an angry breakup letter and letter writes itself.
Well, let's talk about those angry letters. We've all been trained in this world of email not to
never
flame.
Never email.
Not to push send, yeah. To think twice, yes.
You never push send to all.
I never get into it, you know, when you're in front of your computer and you know they're in front of their computers and you're just going back and forth over email because there's a disconnect. Whatever you know, a lot of times what we write over email is completely misinterpreted on the other side. There's no tone.
But I mean, when would you send an angry letter? How would you accomplish anything?
I think it's okay to send an angry letter in that if somebody has really hurt you, I mean, we have all of our emotions for a reason. And when somebody gets angry, it makes you realize, oh, I've done something very wrong here. You know, and it depends on the person. Some people tend to get angry too quickly, but especially if somebody's sort of mild mannered and they get angry, then you know you've really stepped out of line.
Should you write that angry letter and put
it
aside?
Yes, as Mark Twain would say, write it, put it aside, and look at it the next day. And if you still feel strongly about it, you know, maybe you probably won't be as angry after sleeping on it, so you just tone it down a little bit. But I mean, you know, I think it's fine to tell people that they've hurt you or upset you when they have. My cousin Jennifer and her husband Graham have this wonderful relationship, and I always think they never fight. And I said that to her once, and she said, "Samara, a couple who doesn't fight is a couple who doesn't communicate. You have to, you know, not be afraid to tell the other person that something's wrong here."
Samara O'Shea, her book is called For the Love of Letters, A 21st Century Guide to the Art of Letter Writing. You've also got a website where you give people advice.
Yes, I have a letter writing website where I blog, and I also have a letter writing service where if you would like me to write a letter for you, I would gladly write a letter for you.
What's the website?
Oh, I'm sorry, letterlover.net.
Letterlover.net. We're also here with Kathy Foley to talk about this amazing exhibit of illustrated letters from American artists from the Smithsonian Vault on display right now at the always free Woodson Art Museum on Wausau's east side, up on the hill on 12th Street. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you'd like to give us a call, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742.
So take a letter, Maria. Address it to my wife. Say I won't be coming home. Gotta start a new life. Take a letter, Maria. Address it to my wife. Send a copy to my lawyer. Gotta start a new life.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, formerly Fiserv Health, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the importance of written correspondence, letter writing, with Kathy Foley of the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau, and also Samara O'Shea, author of For the Love of Letters. You've got a letter on display, 1827, written by Samuel Morse, the guy who invented the telegraph.
Now, it's very same, Samuel F.B.
I was happy that it wasn't all dot, 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 dash, dash,
that's
dash.
Right.
But he wrote a letter which showed this surprisingly well-illustrated cartoon of him asleep in a chair and then waking up suddenly, and he writes, "But good night, I am fast asleep," and then he writes K-R-X-O-R-T in a strange handwriting. And he writes, that means snoring, though in what language I don't now remember. I felt like I was writing something by Lewis Carroll, you know, in Alice in Wonderland, reading something by that when I was looking at that letter from him. Amazing stuff, 1827.
Yeah. And we have it to enjoy today.
That's right. And not necessarily in the best of conditions, so it's especially terrific that it survived. You see just in this illustration the little...
Yeah.
Holes and a little acid burn, but nevertheless it survived, and that's the burden on us to keep it in good shape.
And a picture of a Muslim woman sketched by Yves Saint Laurent
yes.
in 1970 to Alexander Lieberman. He's the art director of Vogue
and a wonderful sculptor as well in his own right.
And writing all over that on her
yes.
burqa in French.
Yes,
that's amazing. And I've got another one here that I went through there through your exhibit, and I was just writing things down. Frida Kahlo to Emily Packard in 1940. Very passionate woman, apparently.
Well, she left her lipstick on that letter, illustrated it with kisses.
Signed passionately with three kisses to Emily, her son, and her former husband.
Yes, kiss Diego for me and tell him I love him more than my own life.
And there were even some practical letters on display. One from Joseph Lyndon Smith to his little brother, a sketch of himself with money tucked under the arm. Mm-hmm. There was actually a place where he put some currency with the instructions, take the money, give it to father, I owe it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then also in 1935, Paul Manship, a sculptor, to a painter friend of his, Leon Kroll, recommending a model to him, and just to make sure that he got the point, there's this drawing of this voluptuous nude figure showing exactly what the model had to offer artists.
Quite a lot. And coincidentally, Paul Manship, a sculptor who is represented in the Woodson Art Museum's permanent collection with a fabulous bronze owl known as the sculptor who did the Prometheus at Rockefeller Plaza. So when you watch the Today Show and they pan the skating rink, and also the phenomenal gates at the Bronx Zoo. So the connections to our own collection and our community are terrific relative to Manship and to others.
Well, Samara, you also have a section on erotic letters, which I don't think we're going to talk about.
You just wanted to mention it was in there.
But just to mention that the book is very comprehensive. Any kind of a letter that you might want to write, Samara, who is wise beyond her years, has some advice for you. Let's talk about letters to the editor. If you want to express yourself, if you've got something on your chest and you want to write and not only get it published, but maybe... influence people with your writing, and B, not have a lot of people think you're a jerk by the time they're done reading it.
Right. I had some success with a letter to the editor. A few years ago, I wrote a letter to Vogue, the first letter to the editor I'd ever written, and it ended up being published. So I was thrilled, but it was Madonna was on the cover inside the issue talking about how she doesn't read magazines or newspapers, how she thinks they're all just noise. And I thought, but how did you think you became famous? I mean, she's always doing that, always sort of bashing TV. And I mean, that's fine if she doesn't, you know, choose to participate in her private life, but I wouldn't be so outspoken if I were her. So that's what I wrote the letter to the editor about, and they printed it. But I think letters to the editor are just democracy at its best. You know, the publication saying, we might be wrong. Let us know if you think we are. And this is freedom of speech. And if you have an opinion, we are happy to print it. And I think letters to the editor are really great.
So give us some tips.
To write it?
If I'm going to write a letter to the editor, what are the things that I shouldn't do? What should I do?
You should not, if you're angry, because a lot of times I wasn't furious about that article. I just had something to say about it. But, you know, a lot of times you'll read an article that really infuriates you, and don't just fly off the handle. Don't capitalize everything with exclamation points. Don't be angry, be firm. You know, like a magazine will respect. You know, a lot of magazines are happy to print letters that, you know, that say, you know, I think you were wrong about this. And, you know, sometimes they'll even research and say, actually, you're right, we were wrong about it. So you just have to be firm, not overly angry, I think is very important.
What about letters, Glenn, on National Public Radio? I mean, they...
People do write to National Public Radio.
And they read them
marvelously.
You're
right. Steve Inskeep and Renee Montagne.
Exactly,
read,
in the morning.
Like they were reading them this morning.
I love the letters that... Because it's often such an interesting way to gain additional insight into a story that you heard and maybe had some other thought about.
Well, not to flatter the people who are listening right now, but we have a very interesting, intelligent, erudite audience, and that comes across in the letters that are sent. But if you're writing a letter to the local newspaper, you might want to have a friend read it over and check the spelling, because a lot of times, particularly if you're flaming on somebody, if you're really vocal in your likes or dislikes, they won't correct the spelling errors.
They
and they'll
will
put it
happy
exactly
to
the way
embarrass
they are.
You. Yes.
Apology letters.
Apology letters are not written often enough. I think the key to a good apology letter is to first admit what you've done, and not a lot of buts about it. I did this and I'm sorry. If you are truly sorry for it, I did this and I'm sorry. And then go on to say how you might change it, or I'm willing to work on this. I don't want this to happen again, and here's what I'm willing to do to make that happen. Of course, some accidents are that, just accidents, and you can apologize, you know, without having any, you know, needing to change any behavior. But if it's something you know you can probably control or work on, then you should say that to the person.
You also have some historic samples of letters from famous people in the book, letters from Abraham Lincoln, Edgar Allan Poe, Emily Post, Ludwig von Beethoven, Susan B. Anthony, and probably the most famous goodbye letter of all time from
Marie Antoinette. She wrote this goodbye letter hours before she went to the guillotine.
And there it is. It's written for all posterity, and anybody reading that can't help but think that regardless of what your opinion of the French monarchy was, it's a pretty horrible thing what they did to this lady.
Right.
Who cared about nothing but her children at that point in time.
It was very important to me to include these historic letters to sort of juxtapose, you know, a lot of the book is letters that I've written and received. And sort of, so the book is divided into emotions, love letters, breakup letters, erotic letters, as you said, apology letters. And I wanted to juxtapose, you know, the letters that I would write or receive today with, you know, here's an historic apology letter or...
And a sympathy letter.
And a historic goodbye letter. Marie Antoinette wrote a lot of her letters knowing, you know, since she was the queen, that they could probably be published. So she probably knew that. It was probably writing it more for that reason than she was writing it to her sister-in-law. And it never made it to her sister-in-law, but I'm sure that she knew this is going to, you know, people will read this someday.
What are the tips for writing a goodbye letter? That's got to be one of the most difficult things to do.
There are certain letters, sympathy letters, love letters, goodbye letters, that I think you just need to write in a stream of consciousness. Let the emotion take over and guide you through writing the letter, and then sort of set it aside and come back to it and read it just to make sure that it's, you know, coherent and, you know, correct any mistakes that are in there. Although don't, you know, with personal letters, you don't have to worry as much about grammar as if you were writing a cover letter. So don't let, you know, if you feel like you're a horrible speller or, you know, don't have great grammar, don't let that stop you from writing the letter. People can read through those things. And a goodbye letter also, I think you just, you know, if you need to cut off a relationship with someone for a while because, you know, they're a negative influence on you or something, you know, just be honest and, you know, explain to them that you're sorry this is happening, but we need to say goodbye for a while.
Samara O'Shea, author of For the Love of Letters, A 21st Century Guide to the Art of Letter Writing. We have to say goodbye.
Kathy
Foley, director of the Woodson Art Museum in Wausau. Samara, this is your first time in Wausau?
Yes, it is.
What do you think of it?
I am having a great time. I left Philadelphia on Sunday, and it was probably in the low 50s, and I landed on a snowy runway in central Wisconsin, and I just thought, welcome to Wisconsin.
This is kind of a little jewel nestled right here in the middle of
The downtown area is absolutely adorable, and the air is so cold, so it's clean and fresh, and you know, it's lovely, and you know, it's snowed for 3 days, and I'm staying in the museum guest house, which is right next to the museum,
right.
So I don't have very far to go, so I just love sitting there and watching the scenery, and it's very quiet.
And what do you think of the Woodson Art Museum?
Oh, I would live there if I could.
Well, we'd love to have you. And Glenn, thank you so much for all the good things that you and Wisconsin Public Radio do for the Woodson Art Museum. We are truly grateful.
Well, Kathy Foley, thank you. Kathy Foley, director of the Woodson Art Museum, where you will find illustrated letters from the Smithsonian's Archives of American Art, the Always Free Woodson Museum on the top of the hill at 700 North 12th Street on Wausau's east side. Samara O'Shea, thanks so much for being with us
today. Thank you, Glenn.
Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Kelson Quisler. Next Thursday on Route 51, we talk to the keynote speakers at a conference on climate change at UW Stevens Point. Today's musical selections were from Fats Waller, Pat Boone, The Box Tops, Elvis Presley, R.B. Greaves, and The Beatles. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for riding with us on Route 51 today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.